seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 107 and the first two verses. Psalm 107 and verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 107 and verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Really, the Lord requires all men, whoever they be, to give thanks. But we are told in this sacred word of those that will truly do this, the redeemed of the Lord. And if they cannot, who else can? Because it is these dear redeemed of the Lord that will know what it is to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. These words dropped into my heart as I awoke on Friday morning with a sweet measure of power and blessedness and reality. And I felt in my heart I could truly say this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. What I want to look at as help this morning is those that truly do give thanks. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. They've got something to say in thanksgiving, haven't they? Now I seek to be led into this. First of all, who are these redeemed? Well, to put it simply, if something is to be redeemed, a price has to be paid. And the great price of redemption was to be paid, that the Lord was to redeem every one of his dear chosen elect children. And there was none other that could redeem them but the dear Lord Jesus himself. And we need to lay to heart the great cost of our redemption. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Peter, in his epistle, sweetly declared those beautiful words, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Very sacred words, aren't they? They are to the redeemed. But there's a solemn warning. Excuse me. There's a solemn warning here. He declares so faithfully, does Peter, and of course Peter knew it by sweet experience. He says, "For as much as ye know ye are not redeemed with corruptible things." You think how many today think they'll be redeemed by their works? They'll be redeemed by the things of time, or they'll be redeemed by men. But Peter, he makes it so clear, as silver and gold, many think they can purchase their redemption by silver and gold. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Now what about each of us this morning? Is our redemption sure? Are we, well let me come low, do we desire to know that he has redeemed us? That we're among the redeemed? Because he tells us here, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, you think of the great agonies that he endured in Calvary, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And why did he endure it? To redeem his dear children. You and I, if we're among them, have we a sacred interest in his redeeming love, his redeeming blood? Those words keep following me this morning of the hymn writer. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. But with the precious blood of Christ, all you think as he shed that precious blood, and let us just consider it. First in the Garden of Gethsemane. What do we read? His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood fall into the ground. Some of us have known in times of extremity and of heat and extreme trouble where our sweat has fallen, but it's never been drops of blood, has it? But with the dear Redeemer, and this shows the intensity of his agonies, in working out this wonderful, wondrous work of salvation and redemption. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood fall into the ground. And you know, if we have a little glimpse by faith of the dear Redeemer in the Garden of Gethsemane shedding those drops of blood, it'll melt the hardest marble of your heart and of mine. Just a glimpse by faith. That he should endure this to redeem our souls. And then of course, on Calvary, where the soldier pierced his side and there came forth blood and water. Oh, that precious blood, it cleanseth from all sin. It redeems the child of God from all their sin. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. If you go back to the Levitical law, the lamb had to be taken to be slaughtered as an offering before God, had to be the best of the flock. It hadn't got to be lame, it hadn't got to have any ailments, it had got to be the best. And think of it in that beautiful type, it was only a type of the dear Lord Jesus. And Peter takes it up here so beautifully, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see how perfect and pure and holy the precious Son of God was. So that precious blood that was shed was pure, never defiled by sin. And yet it was to remove all the sins of the whole Church of God. Our poor blood is defiled by sin because we're creatures of the earth. We're sinners from birth. In sin did our mothers conceive us. But his blood was precious and pure and holy and can cleanse the blackest and vilest of sinners of all sin. You know, if you and I are to get to heaven, we must be among these redeemed. It is vital. And oh, Peter, think of poor Peter who had fell in the hour of temptation. He knew what it was to feel the sin and guilt and vileness in his poor heart. And he knew what it was to need that precious blood to be applied. And he knew its redeeming power. Oh, he did. The great cost, you see. May we ever keep that before us. The great cost of our salvation. His own heart's blood. Let the redeemed. Now it is these dear redeemed children that will truly give thanks. Then we think, and you may have wondered why we read together those lessons this morning. And in Isaiah, the dear prophet, you know, spoke so much, didn't he, of the need of redemption. And the need of the precious blood of Jesus. Really, the old preachers used to say about the prophecy of Isaiah, really it could be named the Gospel of Isaiah, because the realities in it are so full of gospel they are. And what does he say? Art thou not in it which hath dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea away for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Or they shall return. And come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. You know, there are some wonderful blessings that flow from redemption. Oh, there are. And you think how he names them beautifully here. First, this returning. You know, a poor sinner may wander, they may backslide, they may fall, and that doesn't give any license to sin. But what will bring them back? Redeeming love. It'll draw them back into the fold. He'd draw them away from sin. And then, and come with singing unto Zion. They got something to sing about, haven't they, this redeeming blood? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. They got something to sing about, because his redeeming blood cleanses them from all sin. So they're made white in the blood of the Lamb, pure, holy. An everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Oh, you think of the joy of the dear redeemed, those in glory now are in the fullness of this joy. But poor soul, it's tasted here, and it's known and felt in sweet measure here, the joy. There you shall obtain gladness and joy. You may say, oh, but I've got so many things that are weighing me down and burden me today, but they shall obtain gladness and joy. These redeemed, no other, only these redeemed. And sorrow and mourning shall flee away. We know, of course, this speaks of heaven particularly, but it is to be tasted and felt and known here. Oh, it is, in time. We will not be strangers to it. If we ever get to heaven, it'll be sweetly experienced in just a little measure, just a sip of it. The fullness of being glory. But then, of course, there's that word in we read in chapter 35. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There's this wonderful prospect, you see, before these redeemed. Oh, there is. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But there's two precious things that, and precious characters really, I just want to name. And may we lay into our hearts the reality of those two characters. First, think about Job. What did he say? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Well, there's two things. First of all, could we truly say that this morning? I know. He didn't say, I think, or perhaps it's so, I know. And how did he know? He knew because the Lord had revealed himself to dear Job as his Redeemer. None other could redeem him from those enemies that he had. He goes on to say in our text, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and I want to look at that in a moment. But oh, you think of it concerning Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth. But then the second thing is this. Do we desire to know? You know, Christ is precious in the want of him. And if you and I truly desire to know this dear Redeemer, the day will come when you will, poor soul. Because the Lord gives the desire, the want of Christ is known and felt. Do we desire that I may know him? like the apostle said, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, even the death of the cross. Job says, I know. It wasn't presumption with Job, you know. I know a child of God is often troubled lest they should presume. The hymn writer described it beautifully, didn't he, when he said, I'd gladly receive him, but fear to presume. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And you see, Job knew the preciousness and suitability and loveliness of the dear Redeemer, because he'd revealed himself to Job as his Redeemer. But the second case that rested much upon me was dear old Jacob. In that lovely word which he uttered on his dying bed, when Joseph came with his two sons to see Father Israel, and dear Father Israel's eyes were dim because of age, and he was to give that cross-handed blessing, wasn't he? And so often, you know, the Lord, to these redeemed, he grants a cross-handed blessing. And it may be some of you are working in some hard things today, and difficult things, trying things, things that weigh you down, but is there not in them the cross-handed blessing? And what did your dear old Father Israel say? The God which fed me all life, all my life long unto this day. And then he says this, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Bless the lads. He desired that this blessed angel, who was none other than the Lord Jesus, should bless the lads. The angel that redeem me from all evil. And you know, dear old Jacob there on his dying bed had a beautiful view of Christ. Oh, he did. By living faith. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You think how the Lord redeemed the children of Israel from Pharaoh and his host. From the hand of the enemy. Oh, the wonders of redemption and of salvation. And it was wonderfully seen at the Red Sea, wasn't it? How the Lord redeemed them. He brought them right up out of that great trouble. From the hand of the enemy. Now, I don't know, in your heart and in your pathway today, you may have got many enemies. You know, many of the enemies of these redeemed are within them, in their own hearts. And the more we know by the Holy Spirit's teaching of our own heart, the more we shall know something of these enemies being within. The hymn writer said, didn't he? Mighty enemies without, much mightier within. But think of that great enemy sin. And oh, how we need to be redeemed from it. It's an enemy to the child of God. It brings them into darkness. It brings them into bondage. It brings them into distress. It brings them into trouble, sin. It's only a little three-lettered word, but you know, it's shunned aside by the world and by professors of religion, but you know, it's a great enemy to the child of God. Do you know what it is to feel like the hymn writer? The more I strove against sin's power, though I fell and stumbled, but the more. And we do, don't we? It's a wonderful mercy to be kept outwardly. But, oh, to be kept inwardly from all sin within our own deceitful heart, because sin is mixed with all we do, with all we think or say. Just going back to what I just quoted, the more I strove against its power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. But you know, the hymn writer didn't leave it there, did he? And what a mercy that is, isn't it? And the Lord won't leave his dear people to be destroyed by this enemy, sin. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul. I am the way. Oh, what a sweet word that is for a poor trembling sinner, isn't it? You see, these redeemed are apt to come continually to the Lord Jesus with all their sin. David did, didn't he? Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be made whiter than snow. What did the dear Saviour say? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will redeem you from all this sin, all this sorrow, all this enemy within you. Wonderful mercy to be a coming sinner to the Lord Jesus, isn't it? So he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed, don't do anything to hinder these redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. It's widely believed that David, though we're not told, penned this psalm because there's so many psalms of his that have the same language as what this does. And of course, this is, and the previous psalm, so much is made reference in it to the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness, you see. And they knew the great need of redemption. Oh, they did. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Oh, to be redeemed from that great enemy sin. And when he redeems you from it, poor soul, he'll remove all the sin that troubles you, all the guilt, all the vileness that plagues your heart. And what will there be? Sweet liberty, the captive set free. the prisoner let out of prison. It's like when the Lord Jesus came down to deliver Peter from the prison, when he slept there between those two soldiers, the chains on him. You look at the wondrous work of redemption and of salvation to Peter. The enemy Herod and all the enemies that surrounded Peter were all put down. They were all in the Lord's hands, you see. It's a wonderful thing, you know. Everything is in the Lord's hand with these redeemed. Their life's minutest circumstance, the sin that plagues them, the Lord sees it. He sees every sin there is in your heart and mine this morning, and he has power to redeem you from it. Oh, he has. And you look how the Lord wonderfully with Peter caused the enemies to sleep. The soldiers slept, and he awakes Peter. Gird thyself, put on thy sandals, follow me. And what does the Lord do? He brings him right out, sets him free. Welcome, we pray, those that feel the sin and bondage within and being in the prison with David. And what does he say? It's a beautiful word. Bring my soul out of prison and I shall praise thee. And when the Lord brings you out by his redeeming love, by his precious blood, he has set you free. Oh, he will. And I shall praise it. And you will. You're about to come in with what is said here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Really, you know, we need to thank him every moment for that precious blood. There's the sinner's hope. There's their salvation. There's their redemption. Oh, it is. In that precious blood that doth for sin atone. But then, of course, there's the great enemy, Satan, isn't it? Oh, to be redeemed from his power. This is why Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He knew what it was to be redeemed from the power of Satan. Oh, he did. And the Lord wonderfully manifests that to Satan from the beginning. The Lord said to Satan, you can take away his herds, his sheep, his cattle, his camels, his flocks. You can take away his loved ones. You can take away from him his health, been afflicting him from head to foot with boils. You can attack his soul, but you can't touch his life. Why? Because he's redeemed. You think of the wonder of it. Satan got great power, you see, and you look at the power he manifested in the case of Job. But the Lord has all power. I remember one of the old saints years ago saying to me, oh, I know so much of the great power of Satan, the mighty power of Satan. But he said, I bless the Lord, I've got a God that has all power. Power over Satan. Power to put him down in a moment. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And you look how, going back to the children of Israel, the Red Sea, how he redeemed them from the power of Pharaoh and from Pharaoh's hand. Why? Because there was one that has power over, with his mighty hands, over all the power of the enemies, whatever they be. Whether they be Satan, whether they be our sin, whether they be men. Black boys on Wednesday, I preach from the case of the deliverance of Israel from the Philistines, and you know how wonderfully the Lord enabled David to overcome that great giant Goliath. You see, it wasn't just David's hand that did it. It was David's God that was to redeem and save dear David and the hosts of Israel from that great enemy. Not just Goliath, but the whole Philistine enemy, army. And how the Lord redeemed them. And he can do it with you, poor soul, today. There may be those of you that have got enemies within, enemies that surround you. And you may look at it all and you think, Lord, they're going to crush me. I was thinking this morning of many, you know, in these terrible days, both in this land and in Northern Ireland, that the oppression there is being put on what is right. And those that stand for what is right according to God's word, even sadly our laws are coming out against them. And the lawgivers. The enemies are great. And if you read in the case of the baker in Northern Ireland, how it's he said, it's like I feel like David when he went forth to fight against Goliath, that great giant, you see. There are many giants that have enemies that come against these redeemed. Or there are. But we have this wonderful word, you see. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The hand of the enemy may be great in your heart, in your case, and in your experience, poor soul. But is there not a greater hand? The hand of Almighty God. Who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. May there be in each of our hearts that true thanksgiving that the Lord well redeemed and hath redeemed his dear people from all the hand of the enemy. And may we know it each personally. And you think of the dear Redeemer, and as I leave it, you think of the dear Redeemer when he rose on that resurrection morn. A victorious Redeemer. You know, Zacharias had a beautiful view of Christ, and so did Elizabeth, you know, when the Lord appeared for them, and in John the Baptist coming, and then the glorious coming of Christ, and they could truly say, and Mary, the mother of Christ, could echo this, there was all their salvation. In that dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And oh dear, John the Baptist could testify of it, couldn't he? A glorious Redeemer. He who is worthy of all praise, all honour. Oh, give thanks May there be in each of our hearts that true thanksgiving. Paul exhorted in his letters to the churches, didn't he, them to pray, but to give thanks. We read in Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And to the church at Philippi, did he not say, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. May the Lord grant to us that heart to truly thank him for all his mercies. So the psalm begins, as does not the previous psalm too, speak of it. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And we find it here in this same psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. There's your hope, poor soul, because his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Well, I've scratched around the surface of it. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this word to us and sweetly assure us that he has redeemed us. Amen.